Art thou therefore ashamed of me? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? I think what he means is, the gospel of Christ has never given me any reason to be ashamed of it. It's not that he was boasting about his lack of, you know, but he says, it's the power of God unto salvation. I've never found it anything that would make me ashamed. So we take glory in these things. Then before I went to Africa, mind you, I had been engaged in open air work, but I shied away from talking to people. And I got a little tract one time, and it said at the top of it, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest nearer home. And I went out and got some tracts, and I went from one end of our own street to the other on both sides and gave them out. But I tell you, I sweat blood over it. But I had to master it. Be not ashamed. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. David Gooding says the afflictions here, you could sum it up with the word the bad things, the bad side, whatever kickback there might be in being identified with the gospel. Take your share of the suffering, of the ostracism, of the persecution, whatever it may be, of the gospel. Step up and take your share. Don't try to cop out. Don't try to duck. Take your share. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words. The form there means the pattern. I don't think he means here holding on to the word of God. Might he mean stick to the pattern, hold fast to the pattern? If you're a carpenter and somebody asks you to make them a table or a desk or something, and they give you measurements and they tell you, they say, look, I cut this out of a catalog. This is exactly what I want. You might say, well, when I go to pick it up, it's bigger, it's far bigger than the corner I wanted to put it in. I said, hey, what's wrong here? Well, they said, we thought that, you know, a bigger one would suit you better. Well, you silly donkey, I haven't any place to put a bigger one. I gave you a pattern, why didn't you stick to it? Stick fast to the pattern of healthful words. Stick fast to the pattern of healthful words. That's a duty. The greatest work you can do is simply to expound the Word of God. Never mind fancy little messages and package and all the rest of it. Expound the Word of God. That's the real basic need today. Expositionary teaching. A lot of people don't want it, but you stick to it. Verse 14, that good thing which has been committed unto thee, keep. And that word keep means to guard. This is the deposit, the sacred deposit, the scriptures and the teaching thereof. It's a duty. The duty of guarding the sacred deposit. It's only done by the Holy Spirit. Some people, I mentioned this the other day, some people say we don't need to guard the scriptures. They look after themselves. Oh, no, 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 no. We have a duty to pass these scriptures on intact, in all their integrity, from one spiritual generation to another, and we have that responsibility to do. Don't let it be watered down, either in your teaching or in your living. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now this is not pumping up what we call, and I hope that any of you of Dutch extraction will not misunderstand me, but we have a word which we call Dutch courage. Maybe it's entirely out of date, maybe some of you have never even heard it before, but it means pumping up your courage. You know, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be brave, and we call that Dutch courage. I don't know why. That's not what this verse is about at all. I understand that it means allow yourself to be strengthened. That is the mood in which this word be strong. The power is there. Plug into it. Allow yourself to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The power is always there. It's ours for the taking. Be strengthened from the outside. Because you see, if you don't constantly strengthen yourself, sooner or later, Satan is going to find your weak spot and you'll go down. And we all have weak spots. There are vulnerable areas in our lives, but he wants that all to be done away in being strengthened. Verse 2, the things we've talked about this, so I only need to draw your attention to it. The duty of passing on the teaching which we have received to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Get younger men around you, those who will be faithful, and pour into them what you are learning. God will give you a real job in connection with it. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's a duty. They're supposed to march. They're supposed to carry packs. I have seen movies or whatever you call them, videos of the training in the Marines, crawling on their belly in mud underneath barbed wire with live ammunition flying over their head. What are they doing? Trying to torment these fellows? No, no. They're toughening them. They're teaching them to endure hardness, to be able to hack it when the battle gets hot. Now, spiritually, we are in a battle beside which anything that the Marines face is child's play, because we are wrestling with spiritual wickednesses. And we need spiritual strength. And we need this ability to endure hardness, that we might not become a bunch of pussy willows, that we might not become a bunch of softies, but tough men and women for God, having done all to stand. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It's the duty of pleasing the captain of our salvation. Verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance. Put them in remembrance, charging them before God that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Don't be afraid of repeating divine truth. Don't think you have to cook up a new thing every time you go speaking. This word has stood a lot of exposition, mind you, and it's still here, and it's still fresh. And if you think of the great preachers of not only our day, but others, men who filled pulpits month in, month out, for years, from Campbell Morgan, men like this, backwards through Alexander, what was his name? McLaren. Those were messages. Went right through the whole Bible, book by book. And men, of course, like McIntosh, did exactly the same thing. They didn't get in for little sermonettes. They just kept pouring out the Word of God. Pouring out the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's a duty. It's not whether it suits me or not. It is the duty of the servant of God. Study to show thyself. Now, I know the word study means be diligent. But be diligent in what? I mean, be diligent in gaining a knowledge of the word, that you might be a workman who doesn't have any need to be ashamed, because he knows how to cut a straight line through the word of truth. He's not going to lose himself, get bogged down. He's not going to get tangled up. He's not going to lead the sheep into swamps. He's going to lead the sheep into pasture. Cut a straight line. It's the same word, I understand, as in the Septuagint version. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, and it's to cut a straight path for you. Acknowledge him and he will give you a straight path. And I understand, though I don't know this from my own experience because I haven't the qualification for it, that it's the same in connection with the forerunner of our Lord in the Septuagint version. Make straight a highway for the Lord. Same thing. And this teacher, he knows his way through the Word of God. And he knows, it's not chopping it up in little bits, that's not the idea at all. It's cutting a straight line through it and not getting people lost. I remember one night in the Bible reading, a fellow that I knew put through one of these very cranky questions forward. You know, the kind that, well, Ulstermen love to do it in Bible readings. They can spend a whole night over a preposition and have great fun with it while all the younger people starve to death around them. This fellow pitched this rather complex question, and the brother who was leading it said, "I'm sorry, brother, I didn't quite get your question. Would you mind repeating it?" So he went all over it all over again, and he said, "I'm sorry, you have to repeat it again because now you've got me confused." So the fellow should have known he was walking into a trap by this time. So he went over it the third time, and the man said, "I'm sorry, I think now you've got yourself confused. We better go on to something else." This is this is the man who has no cause to be ashamed. He knows his way through the book. Gentlemen, study till you're blind. Amen. So that you will not lose God's people in willy-waws through the book of God, that you'll know how to lead them into the pastures. Shun profane and vain babblings. Be done with this, what somebody has called this wilderness of words. I loved that one when I read it. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. We had our minds taken to that already today. It's very plain not to dawdle there. Flee. Get out of it. Dump them. 14, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strifes. Don't get into these lengthy debates, wordy debates about this thing. You ask yourself the question, what moral value is there in this whole thing? Are we getting anywhere? Is it feeding us? Is it building up? The duty is to avoid such conversation. That is in the study of the Word. Chapter 3, verse 10, thou hast fully known, and that means thou hast diligently followed my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love and patience in persecutions and whatnot. Thou hast fully, diligently followed. It's to know, but with a sense of following. You've known experientially. Verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Continue in them. Now that can mean a couple of things, I suppose. It can mean that I'm to continue from my earliest Christian days and hope that I can continue to my very latest Christian days. I think it was Robert Cleaver Chapman who said he prayed every day on his knees this particular prayer, "Lord, keep me from becoming a wicked old man." And if R.C. Chapman needed that, I certainly need it. And you need it. God preserve me from becoming a wicked old man, because Satan will never let up on you until you're going through the gates of glory. Continue thou. It can mean all your life, but it can mean continuing at the same level from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, meaning the same on Monday as you were on Sunday, governed by the same principles on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and believe it or not, Saturday. That might be the hardest of the lot. 16, verse 2, preach the word. That's a duty. Don't beat around. Preach the word, God's word. There's some in between there. Verse 5, watch in all things. Be alert, be on the qui vive, endure all things. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof, carry to its consummation thy ministry. That means thy service which God has given you. That's a duty. Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly. And three times that's mentioned. And I would call that the duty of being ready to answer a call of need. And that was an anguished call. Please come quickly. I need you. The duty of being ready to answer a call of need. Now, I have gone into somebody's time a little bit, but we've been in the habit of doing that, and sometimes you've gone into mine. So, there you go. I just want to say, I hope to be seeing and speaking to some of you, of course, before you leave, but I do want to say that it has been a pleasure to be with you. It has been a lift to me to find a group of men like you ready to sacrifice all you have sacrificed to be here. It's been an inspiration to me. I would like to be more useful, but the time together I have thoroughly enjoyed, and I will thank the folk at CMML for inviting me once again to come. And I'm glad that we've got this kind of mutual prayer ring or circle or whatever it is, and I shall certainly count on your prayers. I'm going to need them in 100 ways, and I would like you to pray, as I said, very much, one, that I would be given the time, if God be pleased to do that, to finish this revision. I may have to have some rather serious surgery on my knee. It's given me quite a bit of trouble these days. That's a metal knee joint which I have, and the synthetic part of it has worn out, and it's now got down to metal on bone, and it's not very comfortable, particularly on stairs. I don't know how serious this may be. I may end up with the knee fused and have to use it as a stiff leg from here in, because I don't think the total replacement of it, I don't think they would consider that at this date. And just for strength, to be useful to the Lord, and to pray that God will keep me from becoming a wicked old man. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank thee for these days together. We thank thee for the bond of love and mutual help that has come with people, some of whom we have never seen in our lives before. We have met new friends. We have made new friends. We thank thee for all of this. But now we pray, Father, that the word which we have been studying might become more and more real to us, and that as some of these studies are gone over again and used and perhaps passed on to others, that they might become more and more a power in our lives. We pray for every one of these men bowed now before thee, that thou wilt make them useful in the corner wherever they are, that thou wilt keep them from pride and conceit, that thou wilt keep them from carelessness and shallowness in their ministry, that thou wilt help them to study to prove themselves workmen, master workmen who need have nothing to be ashamed of, rightly dividing the word of truth. O God, bless them, we pray, and make them a blessing, for we ask it for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you. I'll hand you over to you. Taking it.